Daniel chapter 3. Many of you are familiar with the story. I'm not going to read a lot of the scriptures in this passage for sake of time. But many of you remember Nebuchadnezzar and the image of gold. In verse 6 it says, "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace." And of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused. They refused to worship the image that the king had set up. And of course, word got back that they had not bowed. Boy, did they stick out like a sore thumb. All these people have bowed down to this image, except three godly, faith-filled, fully surrendered and committed to their God.
Amen.
They'd been taught right. They responded to the teachings that were given to them. And then they had the privilege of living what they'd been taught.
Amen.
Many children aren't taught anymore
right.
about how great our God is. Bible stories, messages about how great our God is,
Amen.
We just kind of thumb our nose at it and don't think much of it because we live our lives without the power of God. And that's a very dangerous place to be, wouldn't you agree? And so Nebuchadnezzar is in a rage. Look at verse 13. "And fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the coronet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?"
Amen.
Big talker, ain't he? "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Look at verse 18. Read it with me, would you? "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Case closed. We've made up our mind. We're going to put our God first. And but if not, if he decides not to deliver us, we're still not going to serve your God. Now that takes faith. That's radical Christian living right there. That's stepping out into the unknown. And I want to tell you something. God is the God of the unknown. God is looking for people in this congregation tonight to come to the place in their life where they say, regardless of what happens in my life, the circumstances of my life, the things that I'm going to have to go through, I will not fail my God. Though you slay me, yet I'm going to trust in you. Number one, I want to give you three thoughts this evening. The majority surrender to the will of man. You know that's true. The broad way leads to destruction.
Right.
Many there be that go in thereat. Narrow is the way and straight is the gate. Few there be that find it.
Amen.
And I honestly believe that we could take that same statement and put it in Christian living. The majority of Christians do not live the Spirit-filled life. They just play around with it. They're into the convenience of whatever I want to do first. And if there's any time left, I'll give God a little bit here and there. And I'll probably be more spiritual than many that I know. But I won't be one of these fanatical. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winning visitation. All of the things that they say is what you really would do if you really loved the Lord. But I want to go a step further. How about some persecution? How about being thrown in jail? How about being locked up for the cause of Jesus Christ? The truth is, many Christians have never, ever been persecuted.
Amen.
For their faith.
Right.
And it's because they don't have much. Little faith, not much is going to happen. But great faith is going to move mountains.
Amen.
We're going to see God do some mighty things. Notice, the majority surrenders to the will of man. Man, the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriff and all the rulers bowed down. Who is that God that shall deliver us out of my hand? This man, Nebuchadnezzar, he really had it figured out, didn't he? He thought he did. It wasn't hard for him to threaten. And he not only threatened, but he went further than that. He was a man of his word. You will burn in that fiery furnace. The will of man has three enemies. Did you know that? The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world seeks to influence us instead of holiness. What a stark difference between man that lives in the flesh and man that lives in holiness. We saw that so clearly displayed last night. And we see that the world's influence is to bring people away from God, not to God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered, we ought to obey God rather than men. Galatians 1:10. Then Peter and the other apostles answered, do I seek to please men? For if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul told the church at Galatia, am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth.
Amen.
You see how far removed the will of man is from the plan of God? And oh, how he wants to not take us to hell. Satan can't take us to hell. But all he wants to do is make us ineffective. He wants us to be useless for the cause of Christ. I like what Christmas Evans said in his 13-point covenant with God. He said, don't let my days be any longer than my usefulness to thee. He said, I don't want to be like rough lumber just cluttering up the place. Pretty powerful. He was a man that had a covenant with God that he would do what was right. You ought to read that, bring that up on the internet and read it out. Read it. It's powerful. I wish I could take the time to read more of it to you, but I want to say that it's powerful when people come to the place where they have divorced themselves from public opinion.
Amen.
The will of man means nothing when it comes in comparison to the will of Almighty God.
Amen.
We're not going to follow the world. We're not going to follow our own flesh. The best kind of flesh in the Bible is dead flesh. Paul said it, I die what?
Daily.
And you better die daily. Or the power of God and the faith that He wants to give you to defeat the onslaughts of your flesh, we must come to God and beg God for His power upon our lives. The majority surrender to the will of man. How many times have we as Christians surrendered our will to the will of what's on TV? They program everything. You can't even watch the shows now on primetime. They are absolutely corrupt. They grieve my spirit. You can't watch some of the movies that Hollywood's putting out. Why? Because it defeats the power of faith in our lives. It makes us dirty and ineffective. And Satan goes, I got them right where I want them. Wow. Don't tell me a majority are not surrendering to the will of man. We see this in this passage. The second thing I want you to notice is the minority surrender to the will of God.
Amen.
Man, were they the minority?
Yeah, they were.
Three of them standing there. And I don't doubt but what they put their shoulders back and made it very clear, we defy the God of Nebuchadnezzar.
Amen.
You know who the God of Nebuchadnezzar was? Himself.
Right.
He was his own God. Notice, they would not bow. They made a choice to stand against man and to stand for God. If you're standing with God, you're in the majority.
Amen.
God Almighty has such power. That song that was sung tonight, did that stir your heart?
Amen.
The songs that were sung, that's the God that we serve. Why would we cheapen ourselves?
Amen.
To flood our minds and our heart and our thoughts and our ears with things that are the will of man instead of the will of God. Have we gotten so cold toward God that we never even think about that God could be offended with what we're doing as believers?
Amen.
Oh, we must come to the place where we surrender to the will of God. You'll notice there in verses 8 to 18, we find that there's a surrender that's made to the will of God. He says, verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace.
Amen.
Now, you know, when you say God's power and He can deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and you can feel the heat coming off that furnace, and you know that if you're thrown in that furnace in moments, there's going to be a major meltdown. Think about those men that threw them into the fire. They died. That's what happens when the will of man is in charge. People that are innocent suffer and are hurt and even die because of the sin. Hey, you know, I pastored in Peekskill, New York for 23 years. There's a big bridge, the Bear Mountain Bridge. It's right near West Point Military Academy. Since January, at least 7 people have jumped off that bridge to their death. Satan is wicked.
Amen.
And he wants to destroy everyone.
Right.
The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the will of man. That's the philosophy of the world.
Right.
But God said, I am come that ye might have life.
Amen.
And that ye might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Oh, I must say that I want to be in the minority, don't you?
Amen.
Take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 11 quickly. Hebrews chapter 11. Many of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture. We call it the Hall of Fame or Faith. I want to draw your attention quickly to verse 33. I want to read to you those that were men and women of faith. And, you know, the first part of the chapter is so wonderful and beautiful. Look at verse 33. Who through faith they subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lion. There's Daniel. Quenched the violence of fire. There's the three Hebrew men. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the army of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? And others were what? They were tortured. Not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. The others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Think about that for a moment.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Sawn in half.
Oh my.
They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. You say, where's their God now? See, God doesn't look at things the way we look at things. We're so stinking spoiled, first of all. I mean, if the air conditioner's not working, man, I mean, we are upset. You know, good night. And, you know, it's crazy, the stuff that we are so spoiled that we can't even think that God would allow some of these things to happen. But He let them happen to men and women of faith.
Amen.
What was their deliverance? Heaven.
Amen.
Would you be willing to die for your faith?
Amen.
You know, it may come to that one day in this country. I don't know. I'll tell you what, the church grows better under persecution than it does on Easy Street. And may judgment come, may persecution come. Many Christians are afraid to take a stand for Christ in this free country. What, are we crazy? There are countries where you'd be thrown in jail and possibly even killed in this world. And we can't even go visiting. We can't give out a gospel tract. We can't try to talk to somebody about their never dying soul. Knowing that we are not going to be persecuted for what we do for Christ. And so what if we are persecuted? Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Oh, that's easy to preach. I wonder how easy it is to live. They had it down. They knew what they were getting into, and they didn't squawk and carry on, but they did what God had called them to do, and they were willing to be destitute and afflicted and even tormented, of whom the world is not worthy.
Amen.
And truly those that persecute Christianity in this world, they are unworthy of the gift of salvation. So were we, but we said yes to the Lord. We responded to the gift of salvation. We, by faith, trusted in the Word of God, that His Word was true and that He was a God of His Word and that He would stand with us. And even in death, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Oh my, there's so many passages of Scripture that deal with suffering. Paul talked about it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body.
Amen.
He will deliver us. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy God,
Amen.
Nor the golden image which thou hast set up. Number three, the miracle. God overruling in the affairs of men.
Hallelujah.
It's a miracle.
Yes.
You know, when the persecution is on, there's always a miracle.
Amen.
When your faith is tested, are you listening? When your faith is tested, there's a miracle. You know what it is? It's grace. When my mother was killed in an automobile accident in Florida on November the 9th or 11th, 1996, killed almost immediately from a T-boning. 48 hours later, we were all at the Tampa General Hospital. Us five boys were standing around Dad, who was really beat up bad, collapsed lung. He broken ribs, and he was in really pain. And he said, listen, boys, listen to me. And he said, let me tell you what happened. He said, we were pulling out of Winn-Dixie in a car. I couldn't see its lights because the lights weren't on. Big Cadillac hit this little Nissan Sentra. My dad had hit the side of my dad in the driver's seat. My mom didn't have her seatbelt on, flipped her right upside down, broke her neck, killed her right there. He's telling this story. And man, we are all crying. He's got tears running down his cheeks. He said, the Holy Spirit said to me, the moment I saw that car seconds away from hitting us, it was like the Holy Spirit said to me, David, it's going to be bad, but I do all things well.
Amen.
Bam! My dad, after the accident, had stopped and he looked over and he knew his wife was in heaven. He told about it. And he got done. And he said, boys, tell me what you're thankful for. I'm sorry to say this to you, but when I heard when my brother Tom called me and said that, Mom, he said, are you sitting down? I said, no. And I said, Dad died, didn't he? Because Dad had Crohn's disease. We thought he would die early before Mom. Mom was pretty healthy, in fact. But he said, no, it was Mom. I said, you are kidding. And I'm sorry to say this to you, but the first thought that came to my mind was, why didn't God take some stinking bum off the street? Why did he take my mother? I failed the test. I failed the test of faith at that moment. What could I have said? Well, she's with the Lord. I'll miss her prayers. I failed that test. You ever fail a test? You ever look back on something that happened in the moment you made the wrong decision, you said the wrong thing, you did the wrong thing, and sometimes some of the decisions that you made will haunt you the rest of your life because you weren't filled with faith and you doubted God and you questioned God. I'm guilty. I asked the Lord to forgive me of that later on. Amen.
Amen.
My brother Tom went by the junkyard to get the stuff out of the car. And as he's getting the stuff out, he noticed the car that had hit my parents' car. That was total due. And there was a man getting stuff out of that one. He was there to get his stuff too. So my brother Tom went over to him and he said, were you the one that hit this Sentra? He said, yes, I'm so sorry that happened. He said, well, let me ask you a question. Are you saved?
Amen.
Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt you're a Christian, that you're on your way to heaven? He said, no, I'm not saved. He said, well, it's a good thing my mother died and not you.
Amen.
and then led him to Christ. 6 months later, he went to heaven in a car crash. He must have been a poor driver, but is that amazing? Hey, we can take a horrible situation and see God in it and say, Lord, I know what you're doing. I didn't totally understand it. Hey, isn't that what faith is? It's trusting God for the unseen. How are you going to work this one out, Lord? Oh, when something happens to us that's tragic or difficult or hard, we ought to just say, Lord, you know best. I've trusted you all these years and you've never failed me. Why should I allow my flesh and the world and the devil to get a victory over a saint that should be filled with faith? Oh, may God help us. I want to tell you something. God does overrule in the affairs of men. And many of you are familiar with the story. Verse 22, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the fire exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, went down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Wow. Can you imagine the moment that that heat hit them? Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded. And he rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto him, King, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loosed walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the kings, all these people that had bowed down to the will of a man, gathered together, and they saw these men, upon whom the bodies, the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them.
Amen.
Where's the scorched hair? Where's the burned clothes? Really?
Amen.
Wow. Oh, I guess faith paid off.
Amen.
I guess what they said a few minutes ago worked. And what's really beautiful about this is the man who had concocted all of this imagery and worship and everything, he's starting to think right. Watch this.
Right.
Notice verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How could the same voice that says, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to burn you alive, now he's praising their God.
Amen.
Who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any God except their own.
Amen.
Let's start worshiping God. Amen.
Amen.
Let's live for God. Let's quit playing with the world's gods. Let's quit doing what they think we ought to do. Let's not be dictated to by the world. Let's not surrender the plan and the purpose of God for our lives for a few moments of pleasure. Let's say, oh God, I'm going to live for you no matter what.
Amen.
And if you want to slay me, if you want to take me in a car accident, if you want to give me cancer, I don't care what comes my way, because I'm the Lord's.
Amen.
And I'm going to glory.
Praise
sooner
Lord.
Or later.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to tell you something. Some of you are going to have a trial come up here in the next week or two. No doubt about it. How's your faith going to be?
Right.
Let's pray together.